Now it is time to stay on the football field and head to Fantasy Football Friday.
Fantasy meets reality. Create the game we've come to know and love. Here now with his analysis of the players affecting your teams around the world is Dan Tortora in Fantasy Football Friday.
Welcome here to the final segment of the show on every Friday broadcast. Every Friday we start with the annoying moment of the week, proudly brought to you by Carvel DeWitt. And we end every Friday live broadcast in the last hour of the show with Fantasy Football Friday. Here with Mike Sofka of Orlando, my second hub of the state of Florida, and my first hub, Central New York. So I'm up in Syracuse, he's down in Orlando, and we have an opportunity to give you fantasy football advice here every single Friday that you could take with you for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and throughout the rest of your season. I talked a little bit about Thursday's matchup going into it on Wednesday's show, and now we're here on Fantasy Football Friday to talk about everything that is to come and to discuss the Bills and the Jets game fresh off of it. Mike, how you doing today?
Awesome. How you doing?
I'm doing well. And Mike, first and foremost, your takeaways from Bills and Jets. Did anything surprise you?
Yeah, you know, there was a lot that happened in week one in general. Last night's game shocked me a little bit, but that's week two. But there was a lot of close games in week one. There was six games decided by 2 points or less. If you go with 7 points, that's 11 games decided by 7 points or less. So it was some close games. It was some big totals. It was some decent yardage for some quarterbacks. It was a few disappointments in the way, too. So for every, you know, pleasant surprise you had with a Theo Riddick or a Willie Snead, you had some top-end names like Brandon Marshall and Dez Bryant that disappointed in week one.
Absolutely, you know, and like you said, there was a lot of games that were decided very, very closely, and some tough games. I was covering the Jacksonville game, and obviously one mistake kind of took it back for them. T.J. Yeldon had a nice day. He showed some good things, showed some promise. Allen Robinson showed that he can catch pretty much everything and anything that's thrown to him, no matter how much he bobbles the ball. And, you know, there were some other things, you know, that were shocks. You know, I was surprised at how well Matt Stafford played in week one. I know that you had said Matt Stafford, I wasn't sold on him. You know, obviously Theo Riddick, he has his games here and there, but it's consistency that's key for him. And then the Jets, you know, their offenses look good. It looked really good against Buffalo. You're looking at a 100-yard rusher in Matt Forte, three touchdowns, and then Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, both getting over 100 yards receiving. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he had one touchdown, but he's still going to work. He got me 26 points in a standard league, and I'm kicking myself this morning because I didn't play Matt Forte, and I didn't look at my lineup right before. I thought about it for a second. I was going into my live trivia event last night at Woody's in Central New York at the Kmart Plaza, so it just kind of went out of my brain, and then I look at Matt Forte, 30 points. So I would have had 56 to nothing. I would have been spotted 56 points going into Sunday. But Jets offense, Mike, what do you think about the Jets? I mean, I think that this team, you know, was going to came into this season strong with Fitz and Marshall and Decker. Forte, I was like, let's see. He's the wild card. How will he fit in this offense? And what can he do? He obviously had a very nice game against the Bills. What is your fantasy takeaway of Fitz, Marshall, Decker, and Forte through the first couple weeks?
No, I think it's awesome. I don't see how you can go wrong with any one of those guys. They seem to be putting it together. They seem to be heading in the right direction anyway. Now, mind you, it was just Buffalo, and they did come away with a loss in week one, but you can see that a lot of it is timing, and that's what I had talked about preseason with Fitzgerald. That's why it was so important that he get back, because of the timing, because of the relationship. So much of that is, you know, timing routes, knowing the other guy. It could be just a look, let alone a signal where, you know, you pull something if you get certain coverage or what have you. So, you know, I think there's a lot of opportunity for New York this year, and you can't argue with what their defense is doing either. Their defensive line is, if not the best, one of the best when they're all healthy and all on the field together. So it's going to be interesting down the stretch to see how that plays out in the AFC, because, you know, take a look at a team like New England, who's may struggle with Garoppolo. You take a look at a team like Miami, who you don't know, are they going to put it together after that close game in Seattle? So the Jets could make some noise in the AFC.
Speaking here on Fantasy Football Friday with my co-host here, Mike Sofka, in the final hour of all the Friday broadcast of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. Mike and I giving you fantasy advice and picking apart these games. The Bills' offense has been kind of an enigma. They failed to score the ball in the first game, and in the second game they scored, but not from the usual suspects. So, Mike, when you look at this Bills team, you know, some people are going to jump to the waiver wire real quick, and they're going to go after Marquise Goodwin, they're going to go after Greg Salas, because Sammy Watkins, who's nursing this injury, and, you know, what's life going to be like for him this season? He caught two passes for 20 yards, no touchdowns, and was a non-factor in the game for the most part, fantasy-wise. When you look at the Bills being the enigma that they are, what would you tell people to do? Should they go after Goodwin? Should they go after Salas? How should they look at this and say it's just a week? I mean, how do you see it?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully you have better options. Hopefully you've been listening along and taking our advice. Hopefully you're not depending on going out and picking up a Goodwin or a Salas. But I think a Goodwin's an interesting proposal here because he's fast. He's the fastest player in the NFL. He's got Olympic quality speed. Didn't make the team this past time, took seventh at the trials, but he's the fastest player, and, you know, he caught Darrell sideways there by the sideline, and, he, you know, I don't know if this is the beginning of the downfall for Darrell, but at the same time, it looked like Buffalo actually did something right with the play calling and the personnel grouping that they had, where they were able to send Marquise on a fly, and he happened to beat Darrell, and they took advantage of it. And that's one good thing Tyrod does. Tyrod Taylor throws the ball high enough in the air where these guys can run and get under the ball. So Marquise Goodwin might be a long shot flyer. It's not anybody I'm scared of. But, you know, the only guys worth owning right now, I think, are McCoy, Watkins when he gets back to health, and maybe a Tyrod, depending on the scoring situation in your league.
Somebody like Sammy Watkins, though, I mean, we saw Julio Jones in the past, Mike, where he had an injury. He had a foot injury. It was nagging him, and he just played on it. And obviously fantasy owners were happy because they drafted him high, and so they got him for week one and week two and week three and week four. But he kept playing on this injury, and he was questionable every week, and eventually it took him out for the season. So for what fantasy owners got for 4 weeks, they lost for the last 12. What can you say about Sammy Watkins? I mean, I'd be concerned if I'm a fantasy owner that has Sammy, that if he keeps playing and keeps playing and keeps playing, no surgery, no rest, that maybe this is going to be a Julio Jones factor. Do you see that too?
No, I hope not. I mean, for Sammy's sake and for the Bills' sake, especially for their coach's sake, because 0-2 is not a good place to be looking up from. But, you know, Sammy Watkins is a player. He's a consummate player, so he's going to want to play. You know, players get paid to play. They don't get paid. Well, they will get paid to stand on the sideline or be on the injury report. But don't forget, this is the NFL. This is not for long. And anything can happen. You know, if you come off the field in certain situations, you may not get back on. Now, I don't think that's the case in Sammy Watkins' situation here. But at the same time, you're always looking over your shoulder in the NFL. So a lot of these guys prefer to play through injuries. And sometimes you just can't, especially lower extremities. So when you have a lower extremity, especially in a speed position, a timing position like Sammy's in, you know, it takes time and it can take away from your game. So there's a plus and a minus. Now he can be possibly used as a decoy while he nurses back to health. We know he's not 100%, but we're not going to let that out. You know, can you imagine if Sammy Watkins was on the Patriots? You know, Belichick wouldn't tell us anything. We wouldn't know anything about Watkins' health, but it looks like it may not be a long-term problem. Looks like they're trying to be careful and cautious with him. I just wouldn't rely on him fantasy-wise until he shows us something.
Absolutely, you know, and I can agree. I can agree with that, Mike, wholeheartedly, that, you know, Sammy's one of those guys I'd probably leave on the bench. And I actually told people going into Thursday's game to leave him on the bench. He would have gotten, in my league, he would have gotten you 2 points for the week. He would have gotten you, you know, every 10 yards, he gives you a point. So you would have gotten two on that, and that would have been it for him. As, you know, Sammy, obviously we hope that he gets better in reality. Fantasy, everybody wants points. I get it. But in reality, we hope that Sammy's going to be okay. And then getting into this week's matchups, Mike, we're going to go down the line like we always do, and we're going to run through these, you know, as best we can here in the last half hour of the show. Bengals and Steelers. who do you like in these games? You give yours, I'll give mine, as we normally do. So I'll shoot it over to you for Cincinnati and Pittsburgh.
Well, you have to go with Ben Roethlisberger. He's on your team. This is a high-powered offense. Anytime A.J. Green can get loose, and he did it in the last game, he's a problem. So you definitely have to respect and take A.J. Green. D'Angelo Williams is an excellent pick this week as well. I like him a lot. As a matter of fact, I got him ranked number two, only behind David Johnson this week. So those would be the big three takeaways in this game. Antonio Brown, you're always going to have a spot for. That's a given. So I'm just going to assume he's taking his place high up on the altar there, and we'll just suggest these other guys. Everybody already knows about Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, and D'Angelo Williams. D'Angelo is what I thought, you know, to take from Denny Green, and rest in peace, obviously, to Denny. You know, D'Angelo is who I thought he was, and he was that last year, and I think he should have stayed on the field. I don't think that there should have been a break in the action for him, but there was when Le'Veon Bell came back, and I put out a message this past week. I said, if you're a starter, I said, starters don't get suspended. Starters, you know, people that appreciate their jobs don't lose them because of stupidity. And D'Angelo Williams has done a hell of a job last year when Le'Veon Bell was suspended, and started off this year doing a hell of a job. And he is a bruiser behind this Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line. He looks like a different player from Carolina. Looks like he should have always been. So D'Angelo, Antonio, Ben Roethlisberger, those are easy. A.J. Green, you know, he's somebody to obviously take a look at putting out this. And Giovanni Bernard, Jeremy Hill, the conundrum continues. So that's one that I've been wary of for a while. Titans and Lions, who do you got?
Yeah, well, Titans, not so much. I mean, you got to like DeMarco Murray simply just because of what they got going on there. They're going to run the ball. They're going to run it a lot. But I'm not sure about anything else on that team. I don't think I like anything else. You know, Matt Stafford looks like he's going to be a killer in this game. Looks like he's going to be able to put up some yards even without the Megatron. Theo Reddick was a nice surprise last week, but I don't think you can translate that into, you know, all-time fantasy success week in, week out. You just got to watch and see, but it was a pleasant surprise. But I'm not sure Golden Tate is a true number one, but you got to play him if he's on your team, so he's definitely a guy to look out for as well this week.
You know, I think it's interesting. Tennessee could not run the ball to save their lives in their first game, 22 carries for 64 yards. But their defense held their opponents to 28 carry. Their first opponent, 28 attempts for 65 yards. So pretty much the exact same numbers coming out of this one. So Tennessee's defense, something to look at against a Theo Riddick who isn't consistent. So I don't know if I just jump on Theo Riddick right away, as some people have. And at the same time, you know, to take a look at the other side of it, DeMarco Murray, I don't put him out there to run the ball. He caught two touchdown passes, and he was the only highlight for Tennessee. So I got to agree with Mike that DeMarco would be the only person I'd really think about putting out there. Maybe a Tajay Sharp, because he did have a nice week one. He did do some good things. He had 7 catches for 76 yards, so not too shabby if he's a flex guy for you. And as far as Detroit goes, Matt Stafford has proven to me in the first week he's going to throw to somebody. So I like Matt Stafford, but Golden Tate, he's one of those guys, like Mike said, he may not be a true number one, and I don't think he is. I don't think he's shown that yet. I think he's shown that he's still one of the, like, a number three. I don't take him as a number one right now. So if you got him and you got to put somebody out there as flex, it's an option for you. But Eric Ebron as well at the tight end position, not a bad choice going up against a Tennessee team. Ravens and Browns, who do you have in this?
Yeah, well, anytime you're playing the Browns, I think it's a good situation. I'm not sure I'm high on anybody on the Browns, especially now that RG3's gone. I don't know what they have going on. I don't know what their plan is. But then again, I've never known that, and I've never counted on anybody from the Browns. Having a guy like a Josh Gordon come back from suspension in a couple weeks is going to be great for them. But in the meantime, I think they're just stuck in the muck and mire. Nothing's impressive to me with what they got going on in Cleveland. Baltimore's having its own struggles. They managed to pull something out in week one, but they played a suspect Buffalo team who couldn't score against them. I don't think Baltimore's defense is that good. I'm not sure if I would play too much of anything from either side here. I mean, there are some bright spots of Steve Smith maybe from Baltimore if you have to. But I don't see a lot of shining moments here. I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
I look at this game and I say, Cleveland, stay away. I mean, I talked about Cleveland earlier on in the show, and it's just, They really do. They have like the worst. And I don't want to call it luck. The roll of the dice. I don't know what they did, you know, in the past. You know what karma is coming back, so to speak. But you know the Cleveland Browns are just not. They're not a team that is able to keep people healthy and keep people out there. And when your quarterback goes down, it changes the whole dynamic. So, you know, Josh McCown, we'll see what he can do. He's done good things in the past. But, you know, Gary Barnage, I think he'll be a target. I don't know if that means 10 yards or 40 yards or what that could be. So I would kind of wait off on the Browns. Duke Johnson was underwhelming in week one. And, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, I like Mike Wallace. I think he was a steal. So I like the Joe Flacco-Mike Wallace tandem. And I think that that's kind of overtaken Steve Smith and some of the other guys out there. So maybe Mike Wallace would be my only look at that one. Cowboys, Redskins, who do you like?
Well, I hope you're not in a position where you're relying on a Dak Prescott, but he's done a yeoman's job there keeping things together. And that's the rudder that runs that ship there. If you have Zeke Elliott, you have to play him, of course. I'm not too sure about the situation at wide receiver. Here's a guy, Dez Bryant, who's arguably one of the top receivers, and it looked like he and Dak Prescott had a good rhythm going, and they still might. It was only week one. A lot of people overreact at the end of week one, so that's something you want to be careful not to do. I have Dez ranked as a number 20 receiver this week. You could do a lot worse than Jason Witten at tight end as well, but the Redskins look like an interesting pick to me to win this game. I don't think Cousins is going to do anything dramatic. Reed is definitely a guy you want to start at tight end. He's arguably one of the top handful of tight ends in the league behind Gronk, of course, when he's healthy. But I don't think as a team that Dallas is as good as Washington right now. And the game's in Washington. I think that may be a shock to some people because everybody's high on Dak Prescott. Everybody's high on Ezekiel Elliott. But Dallas doesn't have a defense, and I think Washington's got a better defense. The game's on the road, and I think that kind of, you know, tempers the expectations on the Dallas starters who would normally be up a little higher against another opponent.
You know, I think in this game, I look at the Redskins, and it's taken a lot of them some time to get things going and figure things out. Kirk Cousins didn't throw a touchdown in week one. So I think, you know, to play Kirk Cousins, I would hope that you didn't have to do something like that. And Dak Prescott, I mean, this could be a 24-20 game. I do like Jason Witten because of Dak Prescott. And, you know, Cole Beasley was the second leading receiver on the team, and Dez Bryant was all the way at the bottom. Alfred Morris is an interesting pick at this because Ezekiel Elliott, yeah, you could play him and give him an opportunity, and, you know, maybe he'll get you a touchdown, but getting the yardage, you know, you're kind of waiting on that. But I wouldn't shy away from Ezekiel Elliott. He had 51 yards and a touchdown as far as running the ball. But Alfred Morris is an interesting pick because he's going up against his old team and he's going to be in D.C. And usually those games work out pretty well when you see somebody switch jerseys in the same division. So maybe Alfred Morris would be an interesting pick to put him in for flex if you have a deep team. If you don't have a deep team, if you have a deep league and you're looking to throw somebody out there, he could be an option for you. So I like Jason Witten in this and Ezekiel Elliott, potentially Alfred Morris. The Redskins, you know, Jordan Reed didn't have a bad day, but Jordan Reed's got Vernon Davis now, and I kind of want to see how that dynamic goes before I dedicate myself to one of them. Saints and Giants, who do you like?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a big game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, especially from the Giants' end. So if you have any Giants, this might be a great opportunity to pick up some massive points. I got Eli ranked as a number 2 quarterback against a very suspect New Orleans secondary. You saw what Oakland was able to do against them, and they knew that their defense couldn't hold Breeze, so they went back and forth in that shootout. But Eli Manning, definitely a quality start this week. You know, if you got a Drew Breeze, you got to start him as well on the other side. You got to look at the running game, too, on both sides as well. I think that Mark Ingram would be a good start against the Giants. I'm not sure that they can stop that powerful offensive machine that they have in New Orleans, and Mark Ingram's a big part of that. And, of course, the receivers. You know, you can look at a guy like Cooks who lit it up last week. You could look at a guy like Snead who may light it up. You can look at on the other side of the ball, you got ODB, you got Sterling Shepard. I mean, there's going to be some offensive talent. I think we're going to see a lot of points coming out of this game.
you know, I could agree with you here on Mike, that I think, you know, that there will be a good amount of points that are going to be scored in this game between the Saints and the Giants, because defensively both teams give up a lot of points. So I'd stay away from both of their defenses. But as far as the Saints go, Drew Brees looked like Drew Brees. Willie Snead obviously, you know, made some people feel bad for going after Brandon Cooks. I mean, Brandon Cooks isn't a bad one, and you play him in this game, but Willie Snead, you got to put him out there too. Hightower, I'd like to see him do some more there, but Mark Ingram, not bad. The Giants, Sterling Shepard, he was the steal. When are you going to take him? 13th round and whatnot. Shepard scored in his first game as a rookie, so that was big for him. So I like Sterling Shepard. Odell, you would like to think he's going to put up better numbers against a team like the Saints. Victor Cruz. So you're right. You know, Mike, I agree with you. If you have the Giants going with Shepard, Cruz, Odell Beckham Jr., opportunity to play those guys. Rashad Jennings might not be a bad idea because he'll probably get in the end zone. And then for the Saints, Drew Brees, Willie Snead, I like them, and I like Brandon Cooks. So I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. There's not going to be a lot of defense, which, you know, that's not going to win championships, but in the fantasy world, it's a fun game to watch. Niners and Panthers. The Niners pitched a 28-0 shutout of the L.A. Rams and Todd Gurley, which I think was one of the biggest fantasy what that happened in this week one. I think it was one that made a lot of people's jaws drop, including myself, who needed Todd Gurley on Monday night in order to win some of my games, and he didn't do much of anything for me. The Niners came out, and there was no Carlos hide and seek in this one. We found him. He found the end zone. He got out there twice, 88 yards on the ground and two touchdowns. So I would imagine Carlos Hyde will be out there for people this week. But what can you say about the Niners offense? I thought this offense was going to be ugly besides a Carlos Hyde, but they came out striking, and they struck against a team in the LA Rams that we expected a lot more out of.
Yeah, you know, San Fran did, you know, surprise me a little bit, and Blaine Gabbert's mobility, yeah, but I still wouldn't start him. You know, hands down, Cam is the QB to watch for in this game. He's arguably the number one QB in fantasy football. So if you have Cam, you're definitely going to play him. Gabbert, not so much. But I hope they can get it turned around with the running game first. You're right, Hyde was hiding a little bit, but he didn't manage to stay on the field and get some things done. The passing game's intriguing to me with Gabbert at quarterback. I'm just wondering what's going on behind the scenes there, but you can't argue on the other side against the Kelvin Benjamin. Here's a guy I thought was going to be a little slow coming back, and he immediately jumped right out there. He's obviously the number one guy there in Carolina, so I would think if you get any of those guys, and of course Greg Olsen is a guy who led the league in touches for tight ends, and led the team, I should say, in touches last year.
You know, and I go with this one, Mike, where I, you know, 49ers, I would say Carlos Hyde. And I'm like you. I'm not putting Blaine Gabbert out there as my starter. I think that would be crazy. You know, he had a touchdown in the game, you know, throwing. But besides that, you know, what can you say? The team won, but a lot of that was Carlos Hyde and his ability. And then as far as the Panthers, Cam Newton, Kelvin Benjamin, I know, Mike, you said it was going to take him some time. I thought Kelvin was hungry. I put him out there in that first game. He didn't disappoint me. He got his touchdown early. Very happy with Kelvin Benjamin, so I would play him in this game. Carolina's at home, so Kelvin and Carolina, the Panthers, are the only thing that hasn't moved out of Charlotte, North Carolina, with everything going on with House Bill number 2. They're still there unless their stadium up and leaves in a couple days. So the Carolina Panthers at home, Kelvin Benjamin, Greg Olsen, I like them. I like Cam Newton and Carlos Hyde on San Francisco side. Dolphins and Patriots, who do you have?
Well, you definitely have to like some of the Patriots just because of who their coach is and what they got going on as a team. I mean, here's a guy that for the past 10 years has won 10 games every year. This is a machine that they got going. You could do a lot worse than Garoppolo. I hope you're not counting on him, but if you are, you could count on him. I got him as a number 13 quarterback this week, so you could do a lot worse. You know, I'm not sure about Tannehill yet. I think the jury's still kind of out there on the other side of the ball. Is Gronk going to play? Is he not going to play? I don't think that impacts the team as much as people would like to think it does. But at the same time, that impacts a lot of fantasy football players. So again, who's going to get most of the touches? Is it going to be Blunt or is it going to be White? Who's going to get most of the receptions? Is it going to be Hogan? Is it going to be Edelman? Edelman's a nice guy to have in a PPR league because he seems to get a lot of looks and he's a very aggressive player. I like that a lot. But on the other side there, I'm not sure what else we have in Miami. It looks like Arian Foster is going to be the guy they're going to go with, but I don't know if I can really trust him. Jay Ajayi, he wasn't even active last week, but you can't argue what they got going on at receiver, though. Jarvis Landry, I think he's the number one guy on the team as far as being able to make something happen and being able to score from anywhere on the field. He's definitely a threat. So that's a guy, if he's on my team, I'm definitely starting him.
Yeah, you know, and I look at this game, and like you said, Mike, you know, speaking here in Fantasy Football Friday, the last hour of every Friday live broadcast of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, featuring Mike Sofka and myself, Dan Tortora, giving you fantasy football advice. And this is episode 4 that we have done inside of Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. Arian Foster, you know, this is a guy, you had said it, Mike, if you're out for a week, if you're out for a little bit of time, then your job can be taken right from you. And, you know, Jay Ajayi not being out there, he didn't necessarily have the job last year outright, and he doesn't have it this year. Arian Foster, not a bad take of this. He got you 100 yards cumulative. He put it all together, 38 on the ground, 62 through the air. He was the top receiver for the Miami Dolphins in the first game, and he was the top runner for the Miami Dolphins. So 100 yards, not too shabby. So he got you at least, in that respect, 10 points in a league like mine where you get a point for every 10 yards. So Arian Foster in this game, considered. Jarvis Landry, he does get targeted a lot. He got targeted 10 times, which was double the closest person to him, which was Kenny Stills. So I'd leave a guy like Stills on the bench. I'd leave Tannehill on the bench, but maybe an Arian Foster, maybe a Jarvis Landry. And Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm still out on him, but Julian Edelman or, I mean, Chris Hogan. I mean, he caught a touchdown, and like I said before, every quarterback has their receiver that they like, and Hogan's that guy that people are like, who the hell is this guy? And now you're going to start to know, and you might know him even better after this game. Chiefs and Texans, who do you have?
Well, I'm staying away from both quarterbacks here. You know, Alex Smith is a guy that might be able to help you further down the road. He just has to get a little more rhythm going this year, put up some more numbers for me to even entertain. He would be a guy that might be on my bench, you know, covering me for a bye week. Osweiler, same thing. I'm not going to count on. Just depends on the matchup he has during my bye week. But I definitely am looking at the running backs in this game. Lamar Miller, big time player, and Spencer Ware came through like we knew he would last week with the injury to Jamal Charles. We're not sure if we're ever going to see Jamal Charles back to his former self. So those are two guys, Lamar Miller and Spencer Ware, that you want to highlight. And, of course, DeAndre Hopkins and Jeremy Maclin, number one receiver on both teams. And it's funny to say number one receiver from Kansas City because here's a team a couple years ago, went the whole year without scoring a wide receiver touchdown. But yeah, Jeremy Maclin's turned that situation around a little bit, and he's definitely a guy you can roll out there.
I'm going to look at this game, you know, and be similar to you, Mike. I got to go with the running backs. I got to go with Lamar Miller and Spencer Ware. Spencer Ware came out striking. And like I said in my Monday show, I was in the Jaguars press box, and the guy sitting to my left just kept mumbling under his breath, Spencer Ware. You would have thought Spencer Ware was dating this guy's ex-wife. Because Spencer Ware, I mean, it was just, he was so angry, so pissed off. He was like, Spencer Ware, son of a Spencer Ware. And he kept saying it over and over and over again because Spencer Ware was killing him in fantasy. And Spencer was a guy that, like Mike said, we thought he would come out. We thought he could strike. And he did. And, you know, he's pissed some people off. And he's made a lot of people happy that have him, obviously. And I think Lamar Miller, who I normally don't say this, so let's take a pause and appreciate the moment. I think that Lamar Miller for the Texans could be good this week. You know, I wasn't sold on him in Miami, but I think this might be a running game. And, you know, outside of that for Houston, we'll see. You know, they've had some good moments. DeAndre Hopkins wasn't the number one target in week one, so I'm still trying to look at Brock Osweiler and figure out what he's going forward with and what he wants. He went to Will Fuller. Will Fuller's not a bad flex position if you got to put somebody out there and you're looking for someone, or you got to go to the waiver wire early on if you had an injury or something happened to your team. And then Jeremy Maclin and Travis Kelce, but I'm staying away from the quarterbacks like Mike. and then Seattle and L.A. Can L.A. bounce back at home? What do you think, Mike?
No, I don't think so. I think Seattle is just, a much better team up and down, all 53 guys. But, you know, you got to temper your expectations. If you have Russell Wilson this week, he's nothing more than a mid-grade quarterback with a high ankle sprain. He's going to play through it, but he's a mobile quarterback. Mobility is everything, so he's going to be limited a little bit. And they say something about that fearsome front in L.A., but we didn't see it in week one, definitely. So if we see it this week, that might be trouble for Seattle, but I think they're a better overall team. And again, in this game, I think the focus is going to be on the running backs. I think Todd Gurley, yeah, he didn't have the week everybody expected him to, but again, this is the NFL. These are the best players, so sometimes game plan, sometimes things get away from us, and it just happens. So, you know, you got to roll with these guys that are top players. They're top players for a reason. Over time and over a large enough sample size, they're going to be dominant one or two times. They may not. It's just like anything else. Receiver-wise, I'm not sure there's a bunch to write home about here yet. Doug Baldwin's, a guy you can roll out there as a low-end wide receiver one or high-end wide receiver two. But, you know, I don't know what they got for L.A. You know, they paid Tavon Austin a bunch of money, but, you know, that's where the NFL is a little bit different than real life, whereas, you know, you get paid a bunch of money up front. I can't go to my boss and say, hey, pay me a bunch of money, and I promise over the next 3 years I'll do well. It's not going to work that way. Well, that's the way it works in the NFL sometimes, and this is what's happened with Tavon Austin. Just because he got the big contract doesn't mean he's going to be a big player for your fantasy team.
Absolutely. I think, you know, keeping with the word enigma that I use for Buffalo, I think that that's what Tavon Austin is as well. For L.A., Gurley, 17 carries, 47 yards in his first game, under 3 yards a carry. You know, you don't want to put him on your bench. You don't want to let him sit there. You want to hope that he can do better. But he's playing Seattle's defense. So, you know, this is a question mark for me. How many points he's really going to get you in this game if they can't get it done? If they get shut out by San Francisco, that says a lot. San Francisco, to me, is bottom of the barrel coming into the season as compared to Seattle. So I like Seattle receivers in this game. You know, Doug Baldwin, I like putting him out there. And, you know, I think that you could even look at Jermaine Kearse and see what Kearse can do, I should say, and see how he takes it from here. But I do like the receiving core of Seattle going up against an L.A. Rams secondary that I just don't trust and I don't see a lot of early on. Christine Michael, if you got to put a flex out there, if you need a number two. And, you know, Thomas Rawls didn't show me enough in week one for me to dedicate myself definitely saying put him out there. But, you know, Gurley, it's very, very hard, and I have him on a couple of my teams. It's going to be hard for me to sit him if I ultimately choose to do so. But, you know, when push comes to shove, you got to put up points, and Gurley didn't show a lot of things. So that move to L.A. might have left the team jet-lagged a little bit longer than they needed to be because they did not come out striking. But I like Seattle receivers if I had to pick anybody in this game, and maybe Michael in the backfield. Buccaneers-Cardinals, what do you think about this one?
Well, arguably one of the top players in fantasy football, David Johnson, is definitely a guy you want to focus on. If you're lucky enough to have him on your team, he's a definite start. I got him as the number one overall running back this week. I like Carson Palmer at quarterback. I got him ranked number four overall. Not so much on Jameis this week. He's got a tougher defense, a tougher secondary he's going to be facing. You look at a Patrick Peterson, a Tyrann Mathieu, and the front that they have there with Chandler Jones in Arizona. I don't think he's going to be passing at will, but they are going to have to pass the ball because I think they're going to be playing from behind a bunch. So that's good news for Mike Evans fans as well. You can also look at a wide receiver, not only on that side of the ball, but on the other side of the ball, the old man, Larry Fitzgerald. I don't think the old man's as old as everybody thinks he is, so this might be something to consider as well, playing a Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to start with the Cardinals, David Johnson, Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald. I like them all. You know, I really do. Larry, I left him on my bench, and he burned me. You know, he definitely burned me in a good way. He woke me up. Doug Martin, I'm never really sold on this guy. He went 18 carries for 62 yards in week one. I'm not a big fan of him in this game. I'm not a big fan of Jameis in this game. I don't think Jameis should be your starter. I think maybe he's your number two, so he should be. And, I mean, really, I'm going Cardinals in this one. I think their defense and special teams can do some things in this game. And, obviously, Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, and David Johnson, I like each of them. Chris Johnson was underwhelming. And we thought this would be David Johnson's team, and definitely has been through the first game. We have a few more to do. We have five more here to do with a few minutes left to go. Jaguars, Chargers, who do you have in this one?
Well, there's not a lot of right to write home about as far as the Jaguars are concerned, but especially in daily leagues, you know, and redraft leagues as well. T.J. Yeldon is something to look at. Everybody thought that Chris Ivory would get a bunch of goal line touches. Well, he wasn't available. He's got some unknown illness in the hospital and still not cleared for football. So it's going to be interesting that T.J. Yeldon's going to get most of the touches, and the fact that San Diego's defense is relatively weak, I think it might be a tight play. Blake Bortles, I got him ranked as a top 10 quarterback this week as well. Phillip Rivers is going to have to throw the ball. He's not too far behind at 11 this week. Receiver, they got some problems with receiver in San Diego with Keenan Allen going down, but I don't think that you want to start a Travis Benjamin or Tyrell Williams yet on that team against the Jags D. I think the Jags, you can always start either one of the Allens if you need to as well against that poor San Diego defense. That might be a good play as well. And, of course, Julius Thomas, this is a guy who's starting to show up at tight end for Jacksonville, and it's going to give them a big three, just like you look to have a big three in basketball.
Yep, you know, and when I look at this game for the Jaguars on the road against San Diego, it's usually not good for the Jaguars to be on the road in San Diego. But I look at, you know, when I look at the reality of it all, but when we look at the fantasy, T.J. Yeldon scored the first touchdown of the season for the Jaguars. He was a bruiser, and he was going up against it. He was doing some good things in week one against Green Bay, who has a pretty darn good defense with some pretty darn good names in there. So I like T.J. Yeldon. I like him in this game. I don't know if I would tell you Blake Bortles in this one because the road San Diego is not so I don't know if I would say that here, but in Allen Robinson, who's going to catch whatever's thrown his way, and I saw him bobble one like crazy in this game that just happened in week one on site in Jacksonville up against the Packers. So I like Allen Robinson. I like T.J. Yeldon and potentially Julius Thomas if you need yourself a tight end in there. For the Chargers, you know, you got to go with who you got to go with. And even though he has his moments and he hasn't been overly consistent or the greatest one out there, I don't think he should be your number one guy. Maybe he's your high-end number two, but if you have to put him out there in this game, I don't think it's a terrible idea for you to consider putting out there, you know, Chargers starting quarterback Phillip Rivers in this game. But outside of Phillip Rivers, you know, it's the wide receivers, it's anybody's game. It's a toss-up at this point with Keenan Allen's injury. And Melvin Gordon, not too bad. He might have a pretty good game against the Jaguars, but we'll see. The front line's gotten better. So I would consider Melvin Gordon as a flex or a number two. And I like T.J. Yeldon. I like Julius Thomas potentially. I like Allen Robinson. And Phillip Rivers is somebody to look at. We have 4 minutes left here on the show, and we're going to run through these last four games. And I'm going to go to the next game that we have here on the docket in Fantasy Football Friday with Mike Sofka and myself, Dan Tortora. And the next game that we have here to speak on coming up is I'm going to take a look at what game we have not yet covered, and I'm going to go to the Packers-Vikings. I know that's a Sunday night game, and we'll go back to some of the other ones on Sunday during the day, but what do you think about Packers-Vikings?
Yeah, anytime you have an Aaron Rodgers on the field, you got to play him no matter who he's playing against, so I'm definitely quarterback-wise going there. On Minnesota side, not so much. I don't even know who the starter is going to be. It's some big secret till Sunday. I think they know, and I think their best opportunity to win is with Sam Bradford, but I definitely wouldn't have him starting by any means. If you got AP, again, he's one of those guys you have to play. Last week, there was a disappointment, yeah, but like we talked about with Gurley, sometimes the game progresses in a fashion where they get steered in a different direction, so sometimes you're essentially taken out of the game. Well, we hope that doesn't happen to AP this week, but Minnesota's defense did a lot, so if you have Minnesota's defense, they're definitely a scoring machine, and if you have any wide receiver from Green Bay on your team, it's probably a good thing to play. Even though they're going up against that tough D, you know, you get a guy like a Jordy Nelson or a Randall Cobb, they're going to get touches, they're going to get looks, so those are guys you should be looking.
Yeah, you know, in this game, I like Green Bay, obviously Aaron Rodgers in this game. I don't know if I'm going to tell you Eddie Lacy and let's go Eddie Lacy in this one, but I like Aaron Rodgers in this one. James Starks might find a few yards and a touchdown in it, catching a pass out of the backfield, so I would look to something like that, but he is a low flex for me But I like Aaron Rodgers, and obviously I like the receivers out there for Green Bay. Jordy did a great job. Devontae Adams, two of them made hell of a catches and up against the Jacksonville Jaguars on the road. So I like them both. Minnesota, Adrian Peterson, outside of that, you got me. So that's where I kind of stand with Minnesota. And to go back here to the Falcons and the Raiders, Sunday afternoon, who do you have in this one?
Well, Falcons and Raiders is definitely going to be a throw-the-ball fest, if you would. I think you got to go with a Derek Carr. Matt Ryan, not so much, but a Derek Carr is definitely a dominant force here. Matt Ryan's kind of like that just off QB1, QB2 status. But, you know, if you have to play him, play him. You know, it's a good matchup against the Raiders for some points. Running back Latavius Murray, you got to respect him. He's a definite starter. Devonta Freeman looks like he might be dinged up a bit. It looks like Tevin Coleman might be getting some more of the touches. Continue to watch that, but either one of those guys are playable. They're going to get touches. They're going to score some points. And at the receiver, of course, you got to go with a Julio Jones and an Amari Cooper. Mm-hmm. Both those guys are top-level receivers. And hopefully you don't have to go tight end Clyde Walford, but if you have to, that's a good guy to sneak in there. It's a sneaky play there for the Raiders.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, obviously Matt Ryan in this game, Julio Jones, Amari Cooper, I would say that. Latavius Murray, we could give that a look. And so we got two left here on the board, Colts and Broncos. Who you have in that one?
Definitely have to go with Andrew Luck if Andrew Luck's on your team. Andrew Luck is a guy that you can start consistently week in, week out, as long as he's on the field. That's the driving force behind Indianapolis, and when you have him on the field, you're not afraid to go with the Frank Gore, the old man at running back if you have to. There's other better running back options out there, of course, but then again, at receiver, you got a T.Y. Hilton. That's a guy who I like a lot. Moncrief and Dorsett, not so much this week. I think they're going to be facing that tougher D. And as far as going the other way, you have to look at C.J. Anderson. Huge week in week one. Definite fantasy guy that you want on your team. If you've got C.J. Anderson running back so far, based on what he's shown in week one, you're going to be doing fine. That's a guy that you can start with confidence. And Demaryius Thomas is going to get the touches. Trevor Siemian didn't look too bad in week one. Didn't blow the doors off anybody as far as fantasy stats. But if you have a Demaryius Thomas, that's not a bad thing. You want to start him.
You know, and when I look at this, like, you know, Demaryius Thomas, he's been a limited participant in practice, but you want to hope that he can get back on it and do well. I mean, obviously I have him on one of my teams in fantasy, and why wouldn't you? So if you have him out there, then, you know, he's obviously has consideration to be out there. And C.J. Anderson, I say why not at this point? You know, the Colts have never been really known in recent years to have a stout defense against the run. So I don't think C.J. is going to have too much trouble in this one. And then as far as the Colts go, Andrew Luck, I mean, he has shown that he enjoys obviously finding his tight end out there. And that's something to look at. Jack Doyle, he could be, you know, O'Doyle did rule in week one. So it'll be interesting to see if somebody picks him up, throws him out there, maybe as a flex, or maybe, you know, your tight end got hurt or you didn't have the right tight end out there. Or you didn't like what you were seeing. Doyle's maybe not a bad pick for you in this game. But, you know, like Mike said, Denver's a better defense. I don't know that this is going to be a 21-20 game. I don't imagine that it will be. But I do think that Andrew Luck is a safe bet, as well as C.J. Anderson, Demaryius Thomas. And, you know, I would like to think T.Y. Hilton can do some good things, but we'll see. I wouldn't put him as my number one receiver. And then to finish things off, Monday night, Eagles and the Bears. Who do you have in this one?
Well, I'm not real caught on either quarterback situation for either team. I think that Wentz is showing a lot as a rookie quarterback, stepping in and doing what he needed to do. Looks like he's going to be just fine. But I don't think that relates to anything on the fantasy side of the ball here with Jay Cutler either. I just hopefully those guys aren't on your team. Hopefully you're not in a position where you have to start one of those guys. But if you have one of the running backs, you're going to feel secure there. And Ryan Matthews and, you know, Langford, both those guys. And in a PPR situation as well, those guys are going to be just fine for you receiver-wise. I don't think you can do too much here in this game, but there are two guys that you could really look at. Now, Alshon Jeffrey and, of course, Jordan Matthews. You know, I'm tepid on any receiver from a team that's got a rookie quarterback or an inexperienced quarterback, unless you're that dump-off guy, unless you're the tight end. And, you know, Zach Ertz looks like he's got some upside to him, but I'm
when I look at this game, you know, Mike telling you about, you know, the Eagles and the Bears for the final game that we have for Fantasy Football Friday to finish off Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora in this broadcast. I like Jordan Matthews in this game. I actually gave advice on this recently. You know, Ertz, with him not being around, then that obviously helps out Jordan Matthews a little bit more. People were concerned about Jordan Matthews. Some people thought it would be good. Some people didn't. And obviously, those of you that drafted him and played him, you found out that it was a good thing. So I would like Jordan Matthews in this. I like Jeremy Langford for the Chicago Bears and Alshon Jeffrey. I do like receiver versus receiver, Matthews and Jeffrey. And then kind of go from there, Langford, I would look at maybe Ryan Matthews as a two or as a flex. I don't know, as a number one running back, but maybe as a two or as a flex wouldn't be a bad one to put out there. And that's kind of how I'm seeing this game. So, you know, we just ran you through each of the games and who we like and who we don't. And for more fantasy advice and for an even more full extent of it all, you can check out Mike Sofka at HallOfFameFantasyFootball.com. That's HallOfFameFantasyFootball.com. And you can check out WakeUpCallDT.com on the fantasy football page. For now, as always, Mike, I appreciate it. I love doing this with you, and I can't thank you enough.
All right, sounds good. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, thanks, Mike.